We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Isn't this a sports show?
I've been a Chiefs fan now, and I've for my entire short life, and I haven't seen any quarterbacks that are out here ready to go rock a jeans commercial. I want Patrick Mahomes to have the ability to go absolutely crush a commercial selling denim.
Almost entirely.
What are they going to do with his voice? Pat Mahomes with Lee Jeans here.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Well, now we talk to a man who can almost certainly say Pro Football Focus three times fast. Kent Swanson, actually, can you prove it?
Pro Football Focus.
No. Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's the video, Kent. Let's just go ahead and hang out.
You're
here.
You're gonna make me watch this?
Yeah, 100%. It's amazing. It's you're gonna get some of the precursor here. She gets really mad, and then she takes her jacket off that's tied around her waist, and then drops trowel, leans up against the, you gotta watch, Kent! You gotta watch!
Oh.
She pooped on the floor, then he picked it up and threw it at him!
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Oh, man. Where to start? The entire Kansas and Missouri general area has either been blown away today or torrentially downpoured upon. It feels like a ridiculous spring day here on December 15th. Urban Meyer is going to get a kick out of this one way or another. The Kansas City Chiefs are one day away from meeting up in a game that will, in all likelihood, decide the AFC West. And we got Kent Swanson in 2 hours to talk about it. So welcome into tonight's Almost Entirely Sports. I'm Joshua Briscoe. Rudy Salazar on the other side of the glass. We will be joined by Kent Swanson of the KC Sports Network at 9 tonight. And we'll have so many things that we can talk about leading all the way up there. Rudy, it looked like you sort of gesticulated towards the microphone to start there. What's going on? That's an early, it was an early little Rudy shimmy there, and it makes me nervous.
This global warming thing ain't so bad.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's great for me.
I was afraid my car might blow off the road, but
here's the thing.
That's probably nothing.
I don't like
so much look into that.
I don't like high winds. I don't like feeling like I'm going to blow away, but you know what I do like? I like a nice warm temperature. Giving me some 60-degree weather in December, I'll sign up for it. My grandkids have to pay? Joke's on them. I won't have grandkids.
Look, man, there have been days in December here that have been warmer than days when I was in Florida for Thanksgiving. And that seems... Oh, and also the middle of the state is on fire right now. Ongoing wildfires west of Topeka and north central Kansas. It's probably nothing.
It's fire. It's good for the ground.
It's a controlled burn.
It's like that's how you burn your grass, the nutrients, the ashes, re-fertilize it or something, and the new grass comes in a little bit better. I know stuff.
What? I mean, it's just...
I used to do controlled fires with my old man back in the day.
Yeah,
used to walk around with a little, you know, watching stuff, you know, lighting stuff on fire, mm-hmm. watching it burn.
Mm-hmm.
Did my dad frequently go do a little too much and it get out of hand? Sure. Did we miss like Easter one time because we were too busy trying to make sure no forest burned down? Absolutely. It happens.
I think the phrase wildfire does imply not...
It's big.
Not a controlled burn, I think.
It probably started as a controlled burn would be my guess. And escalated. Because when I say we had stuff...
Why would it start as a controlled burn? I have no reason to believe that.
I mean, most of these wildfires start as like a controlled burn of some sort, especially in the Midwest.
I don't have that information.
I'm not saying that is the case. Just frequently, it is the case. Like, in our example, like, again, this did actually happen to my family back in the day. And, like, you start off when you light it, it's like, I mean, we're talking super small fire, right? Like, it's not even a foot tall. And then it just gets into some grass that's drier than you think, right? Or there's just more there. And I'm telling you, man, it can get out of hand real fast. Now, for us, it never really got close to, like, a wildfire's almost started. But, like, you'd be surprised how fast a controlled burn can go into.
Oh, I don't think I would
be. On fire.
Yeah, I don't think I would be that surprised.
It happens. And he, also, people, for whatever, people think they can control fires.
Yeah, fire doesn't bleep around, really, generally speaking.
Controlled fire is a, would that be an oxymoron? Is that the term?
A little bit, yeah.
Because, like,
yeah.
You can't really control a fire.
So, anyway, speaking of things that should be fired, do you know where the Josh Reads the Internet imaging is, Rudy? I think that we'll have a lot of time to talk about Chiefs Chargers today, and rightfully so. But I knew whenever I saw this afternoon that we were going to have to begin here. This is a story in the Tampa Bay Times, tampabay.com, by Rick Stroud. And I just think that the best way for me to give you the important bits of information here is by reading it to you.
And now, Josh reads the Internet.
Josh Lambeau was off to a slow start. The Jaguars All-Pro missed a field goal attempt in each of the first two preseason games. But the fourth most accurate place kicker in NFL history wasn't worried as he stretched with teammates at practice during the week before the final exhibition game against the Cowboys in August. Then Lambeau was approached by head coach Urban Meyer, who doesn't call Jaguar specialists by their names.
They're not people.
It was kicker, punter, long snapper, Lambeau said. Or S-bag, dip bleep, whatever the hell it was. The names didn't bother Lambeau, but what the former Florida Gators coach did next, Lambeau said, were the actions of a mean-spirited bully. Quote, I'm in a lunge position, left leg forward, right leg back, Lambeau said. Urban Meyer, while I'm in that stretch position, comes up to me and says, hey, dip bleep, make your bleeping kicks, and kicks me in the leg.
Pretty good advice.
Lambeau spoke for the first time publicly about what he said happened to him in an interview with the Tampa Bay Times. Quote, it certainly wasn't as hard as he could have done it, but it certainly wasn't a love tap, Lambeau said. Truthfully, I'd register it as a 5 out of 10.
See, he held back.
Which, in the workplace, I don't care if it's football or not, the boss can't strike an employee.
Debatable.
Somebody never played basketball at Wichita State.
It's Florida. There are no rules in Florida.
And for a second, I couldn't believe it actually happened. Pardon my vulgarity, I said. Don't you ever bleeping kick me again. And his response was, I'm the head ball coach. I'll kick you whenever the bleep I want.
Where are the lies in that statement?
Well, just ask Urban Meyer. I'll skip down a little bit. Quote, Josh's characterization of me in this incident is completely inaccurate, and there are eyewitnesses to refute his account, Meyer said. General Manager Trent Baalke and I met with him on multiple occasions to encourage his performance, and this was never brought up. I was fully supportive of Josh during his time with the team and wish him nothing but the best.
Do you think Urban Meyer gave him a kick out the door?
The next morning, Lambeau said he was in a nutritional aisle at the team's training facility making a smoothie. Meyer approached him. Quote, he sees me, and I'm by myself, and he kind of cornered me and comes up to me and says... Quick timeout editorial note. I am going to read this verbatim, this next quote, but I am going to put my own sort of understanding of this phrase into the context, in the performance that I think it deserves.
Yeah.
So, once again, here, quote. He sees me, and I'm by myself, and he kind of cornered me and comes up to me and says... Are you going to put a smile on that face? Lambeau said. I said, I'll smile if you stop kicking me. The conversation was out of earshot of other players or staff, Lambeau said.
Big Heath Ledger fan. Good taste in movies.
So there's a long quote here where Lambeau talks about some of these things and then quotes Urban Meyer as saying, his response was, quote, okay, you don't like me doing this, okay, if you don't like me doing that, fine, but if you ever speak to me like that again, you'll be out of here. You're the first player I've ever let speak to me that way in my career, and if you do it again, you're gone. Lambeau said he was stunned. I said, quote, I'm genuinely not trying to be sarcastic here, Urban, but what did I say that offended you? Lambeau remembered asking Meyer. He said, quote, when you responded to me out there on the practice field in front of everybody, if you have an issue and don't like me kicking you, well, then you keep that to yourself and you wait until after practice and after meetings, you come find me in the office and tell me privately.
Learned that in kindergarten. Teacher told me if I didn't like her kicking me, talk to her after class, but keep it to myself. This is normal behavior.
I keep thinking I'm going to bail on this story at some point, but then every paragraph that goes on is either crazier or at least important to the story. So Lambeau said he reported the incident to his agent, who contacted the Jaguars' legal counsel the day after that happened. Both Irvin and the Jags confirmed the legal counsel was contacted and offered Lambeau a chance to meet with them, but Lambeau said he has, quote, no recollection of being able to speak with the Jags' legal team. So there's some more stuff in there, and Lambeau was released after he missed his first three field goal attempts to start the season.
Fun fact about Josh Lambeau, he was the, like 2004 was the U.S. Men's National Team under 20 starting goalkeeper.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He was like a really, really good soccer player.
Huh.
And then he transitioned to football.
Everything,
I think it was like 04, somewhere around that time.
Everything after that was essentially more things about the other stuff that has happened around Urban Meyer and the Jags. So that has been me reading the internet. Okay, no longer reading the internet, so I can now say, what the bleep? What? Sorry? Hello? Pardon? Urban? What? Look, I think that on a variety of levels over the last, I don't know, I don't want to equate a bunch of criminal behavior to a bunch of just sort of bad leadership behavior.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that as a society, we've gotten a little bit better at not just assuming that the people with the most power are decent people. And again, in some cases, we're talking about like people who are now in prison for the rest of their lives because of the horrible things that they have done. And, you know, it's good. I'm not going to equate all these things. That would be unreasonable. But football seems like one of those remaining places where just the name you've heard of, the dude who's been in power before, and in this case, the guy who's been in charge of collegiate athletes throughout his entire career until now, when he's gone professional and it has not gone well, you find out that just being in charge of something like massive college football programs doesn't necessarily mean that you're qualified to, I don't know, communicate with human beings. The John Gruden thing was one thing, because it was like this total unmasking of this, all of this racist, misogynistic, homophobic stuff in his emails, right? We all know all of this about pretty much everything going on in Washington, which, by you want to play a petty one-up game. There was a whole story about Daniel Snyder and I think it was a settlement with Bruce Allen that needed to include a congratulatory text message that Bruce Allen never sent to Dan Snyder. That whole thing. Yeah, I'm not going to do another read the internet in the first segment. We're not going to get the Chiefs charges if I go down that rabbit hole also. But you can look at Washington and it's like, well, they need a clean house. You can look at the Los Angeles Clippers and find yourself a thousand places in between throughout all of sports. And again, these are not all equal crimes, because some of them are crimes, and I don't think Josh Lambeau wants to try Urban Meyer for assault in this case. But unsurprisingly, from everything we already knew about Urban Meyer when the Jags hired him, and then brought in the strength and conditioning coach with overtly racist things in his recent past. Allegedly. I think maybe officially. And then all the stuff that happened in Ohio State that he allegedly knew about. This assistant coach and...
But almost definitely.
But like...
Kind of, I think maybe admitted it.
I think maybe admitted it. But I think that we...
But allegedly.
We are still at a point of like... These stories and this particular incident, again, in the grand scheme of things...
Is small.
Is relatively small. I made the joke about Greg Marshall a second ago, right? Mm-hmm. Him punching a player in the back of the head after ejecting him from practice or whatever the mechanic was that led to that happening.
A player who is more or less a kid.
Yes. That's all I guess worse, right? In this sliding scale. But what is it in I mean, I guess it's the very like, I don't know, faux militaristic kind of thing that gets very fetishized for a leader of men in a sports program, specifically a football team.
Football gets compared to...
compared to war all the time. They wear camo bleep in college.
There's a lot of, interacting there, yes.
I have not heard anyone who was in the military who also played football say that those are the same thing. Or that they're very equal, or that maybe football is harder.
I believe Villanueva, who did do both,
yeah,
like specifically come out and said they're not the same.
You know, that would make sense to me, just sort of given the stakes at hand.
Yeah.
And I've always thought that like the camo uniforms and stuff were always a little bit odd because it sort of feels like cosplaying. And if it...
LARPing.
It feels a little bit like LARPing, it feels a little bit like cosplaying, it feels a little bit like... Like, you know, KC Wolf in fatigues, I don't... If you are in the military and you're like, I'm glad that KC Wolf wore camo. It makes me feel more, like, accepted or whatever. Great. Awesome. That's totally... I hope that most people feel that way. It's just always struck me as a little bit odd. But I think that's largely probably pretty harmless. But then you get to the point where you... have Urban Meyer, who theoretically and allegedly believed somewhere in him as a football coach that the best way to get his kicker to kick better was to kick his kicker. Allegedly.
Kicking kickers to get them kicking.
And on some level, that's the thing to me that is most upsetting is how stupid it is. And maybe it's just all a power dynamic thing and nobody has told Urban Meyer no at any point in the last 15 years. I don't know. I mean, he had hell of a roster at Florida. You can look back at and do a little where are they now kind of thing.
Tim Tebow, number one Jesus fan.
Tim Tebow was the rug that everybody else was able to kind of slither under, I think.
I think he was the only, that was it. Just a bunch of Tim Tebow.
It was just Tim Tebow. It was just 90 Tim Tebows. Every once in a while, I try to remember who is that one receiver that I think Scott Pioli said they'd take. Lance Long? Was it Lance Long?
I'd take 53.
That might have been a Todd Haley quote, actually.
Yeah, I would take 53 Lance Long. I'm pretty sure it was Todd Haley.
I'd like to get, can we get Lance Long on the show? I don't know what he's doing. I feel like he could come on and talk about
probably living a pretty good life,
cloning himself for the sake of Todd Haley and just sort of football. I could talk to Lance Long.
If you had 53 Lance Longs in Pittsburgh, you wouldn't have had Ben Roethlisberger trying to hurt him all the time. Remember the story,
Todd Haley, you
like,
mean?
Fell downstairs like twice.
Yeah,
in the
you're
span
right.
Of, like 2 months.
Yeah.
And, like, I firmly believe that Ben Roethlisberger had a hit out on him.
I'm not going to say Ben Roethlisberger pushed him, but I might say that Ben Roethlisberger left a banana peel at the top of the stairwell.
He definitely didn't push him, but like one of his 30 walking boots just happened to be laying around.
I've thought about this a lot, and there's. Not that part.
No, the Urban Meyer part.
I've thought about...
I mean, the other part as well, but the Urban Meyer part.
The other thing, though, that I think I mentioned this, I don't even remember. I think it was Josh Gordon talking post-game after the Raiders game, where this came up again. And it came up in the conversation that I had a month or so ago with Jamal Charles. That's still available on the podcast page. If you just search for Almost Entirely Sports, Jamal Charles, I'm sure you'll find it. Where those guys talked about how being in Kansas City and being with Andy Reid, and for Charles, it was specifically Eric Bieniemy. I don't remember who Josh Gordon named specifically on this on Sunday night. But there was this, like, shock that they had getting to Kansas City, or having Andy Reid get to Kansas City in Jamal Charles' case. And then being told for them to be themselves and to, like, have their personality and everything. Can you imagine for a second Harrison Butker missing three kicks and then Andy Reid kicking him mid-stretch? Just try to envision Andy Reid kicking Harrison Butker whenever he was missing some extra points. If I took Urban Meyer's name off of that and asked you to tell me what you learned about that coach from this one incident, allegedly, you would say that that guy obviously shouldn't be coaching peewee football. Well. And this guy has been the absolute golden god standard of college football, moved to the booth, and now is at the helm of a sinking ship in Jacksonville in the preseason, kicking his kicker. He just got there. And these are the people who are in charge of so many of these teams. It's guys who are wired that way. And I do not think, by the way, this is one of those things where I think Urban Meyer is the outlier. I'm not sure off the top of my head. And I think John Gruden is the outlier. I don't know by how much. I'm not saying they're the only ones that have this. But why is it so hard to be a decent person who has power? Why is that so difficult? Why is it so difficult to, like, respect your roster as you hope that they'll respect you back again? Andy Reid gets hit with players coach as a detrimental thing whenever whenever they haven't been winning. This team's undisciplined. What? So I'm going to start asking, you know, callers on the postgame show about this or other pundits or whatever. This team's not disciplined enough. I would like you to tell me what Andy Reid should do to be more disciplinarian with his team. Which, by the way, the idea that, like, the Chiefs aren't disciplined as a team, I think, leads you to a fundamental misunderstanding, or you admitting a fundamental misunderstanding, not just of Andy Reid, but also of Eric Bieniemy's existence. But do you want your coaches to be kicking your players? Because I don't. Can you imagine if your boss kicked you because you weren't performing very well? Come on! What are we doing? This is a guy who isn't, like, a many times over multimillionaire in charge of one of 32 goldmine NFL franchises. And theoretically, he's been treating his collegiate players like this for years, to great success. But also, college football players don't have a union. And also, they're significantly younger, and you're not very likely, I would think, to get a kicker at Florida or Ohio State to come out and say, hey, massive college football fan base, your head coach is somewhere between a dope and a bully, allegedly. It's just the whole story is mind-boggling to me in ways that it probably shouldn't be at this point. I should probably stop being surprised by absolute power corrupting absolutely or whatever. But this was in the preseason of his first year. Like, Urban Meyer clearly, I think, got, and I think we have examples of this all across this last year of him in Jacksonville, less than a year. I think he clearly took who he was as a college coach and just carbon copied it to take to Jacksonville with no thought of, do I need to adjust my approach at all here? Because you saw that in him hiring the strength and conditioning coach, who absolutely did not deserve to have one of those very rare jobs in the NFL based off of his recent words and actions. Then you get him saying, just this week, if I find the leaker in my offices, they'll be fired within seconds. This sort of stuff is just different in the NFL, and I know that. Everybody, the reporters in Jacksonville, there was a question, one of his press conferences this week, about some defensive player, and Urban Meyer said something along the lines of, like, yeah, and I think he's been playing more, and, you know, we're trying to get him out there more. He played zero snaps in the game prior. Zero. Zero. Not that many. Zero. And he didn't even say, you know, I'll have to look at the tape on that. I'm not sure of the snap count right now, whatever. And it's not, I'm not even talking about him not flying back on the team plane and then having the whole thing happen at Urban Meyer's steakhouse or whatever. I'm missing things. I thought of something that has happened around this team and then already forgot it because I got distracted by the video of him with somebody at the steakhouse. It's the team meetings. Oh, it was the running back rotation. Someone asked about the running back rotation with James Robinson and managing injuries and everything. And he basically just threw the OC right under the bus of like, yeah, I would tend to agree with you, reporter, throwing our team under the bus here. He seems like he has lost all control as a person who has never had that happen to him before. It's just wild to me. It is a bunker story that I imagine you would probably see a lot more in college as collegiate players get more power.
And you know what? I think it's going to be okay. Can I read you a quote?
Sure.
It's from one of my favorite books. Nobody wants hardship or adversity, but everybody gets it. It's inevitable. No one escapes pain, fear, or difficulty. A successful life involves some amount of necessary pain. When it happens, don't run from it. Learn from it.
Now, which of your beloved many of your
it's
book collections
book
is that from?
Called Above the Line, Lessons in Leadership and Life from a Championship Season, written by Wayne Coffey and Urban Meyer. It's a great quote.
I mean, Urban also was on Fox a few years ago with like the list of all of the things that are going wrong in a flailing franchise without leadership, and he listed off a bunch of things that seem to be happening in Jacksonville. I just
your culture message must be exceptionally clear. No confusion, no uncertainty, no excuses. Explain to your team that this is what we believe and how we behave in all circumstances. It is who we are.
In fairness, I think he's nailed that. Who we are is that our kicker, punter, and long snapper, I also call bleep bag and dip bleep, and whenever I kick you, I say, I'm the head ball coach. I'll kick you whenever the bleep I want.
Okay.
That's who we are.
Counter argument. I know the team's not doing good, but results, they are important. Yes.
Sure.
We're all in this to produce results. I mean, not me, obviously, but they, the
right.
Players are.
Sure.
But culture is what sustains the behavior that gets you those results. Build the culture. The results will come.
Dip bleep. Bleep bag.
If you build it, it will come. That was from Urban Meyer.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott, Urban Meyer.
He also said he's never been in a football game and the team that played the hardest didn't win. I don't believe that for a second.
That's
man,
ridiculous.
You get to, like, especially like the high school and collegiate level where the talent gap can be so wide.
Yeah.
Like, trust me, man, I played really hard against the plenty of teams that where I spent half the game laying on my back in pain because I just got lit up.
You were trying really hard. You just weren't 6'5", 300 pounds. I think the thing that I want people to take from this is to just assume a little bit less of people who have just been in charge for so long that you assume there's a reason for it. Because this isn't even about, like, doling out consequences or whatever. But whenever you look at, like, John Gruden's emails, If you take his name off of them, it's simply not a person you want in charge of McDonald's, much less the Las Vegas Raiders. Even on like stuff just like him poo-pooing the NFL, pretending to care more about concussions. Netflix's Home Team coming to Netflix, streaming everywhere soon. That alone would make me go like, do I want this dude, you know, coaching me in how to use my head, helmet, and brain? Do you want a football coach whose best way of helping a kicker be better at kicking is to kick the kicker? You put the names on it and you go, oh, that's Urban Meyer, Sean Gruden, those guys are winners. Man, somebody hired one of those guys a long time ago. They did their authoritarian bleep without ever particularly seeming to evolve much as human beings. And until today, Urban Meyer was, I think, coming out of Jacksonville as almost sympathetic in his press conferences because it was so pathetic. Of just like, it feels like every answer is like, I don't know. I don't effing know, man. I don't know. What do you want me to do? I got Trevor Lawrence. I came here, I got Trevor Lawrence and a big bag of money. I've made several bad decisions in a row and our team is losing for the first time in my professional life. I don't know. I don't have your answers.
I have some advice for him.
Sure.
First, you win that battle in your mind. Then, you win that battle in practice. And then, and only then, will you win that battle in the game, or in this case, the press conference. Urban Meyer.
Can you just, I know you brought your copy of that book with you, Rudy. You have it with you every day. It's in your backpack. Yes. It is weather beaten. Because
I actually have the phrase above the line tattooed on my over my heart.
It's actually, I thought it was right above your waistline because it's also kind
of
clever,
it's in a
you know?
Spots.
You have it multiple times.
Yeah, that's a great
line. That's a great quote.
Still above the line.
I'm thinking about getting it above my belly button and below my belly button, just sort of like thug lifestyle over the belly button and then above the line, above the waistline, you know? But go ahead and I know you've got, as you've been reciting it from memory this whole time, I know you have most of the book memorized, but just for me, just kind of think through or flip through the pages if you need to, if you haven't, you know, reread it all within the last couple of days. I know you try to reread it every week, but just try to find if there's any advice about physically impacting your employees with your foot.
Don't get the culture you want. You get the culture you build.
Is that in there?
Yeah, word for word.
Because that's bleeping poetic and maybe prophetic and also pathetic. I was so blown away by this story today that I forgot to start the show by talking about the fact that Willie Gay has COVID and won't play on Thursday night. We'll talk about that whenever we come back.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Ravens, Seahawks, Ravens, not happening. Ravens, Eagles. Love this game. Love this matchup. Could be an interesting quarterback situation, and Earl Thomas gets to play in the city of brotherly love. Anywho, I love Drew Brees.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I need some input. I can get a used hardcover version of Urban Meyer's excellent leadership book, Above the Line. I can get a copy of it for like $5 or $6 used on Amazon. It's a little more expensive. I'm having a harder time finding a good copy of it on eBay. I could get a signed copy of it for $91. And if I could just have it, you know, teleport into my hand right now, I might spend the $5 on it. I'm not going to buy the Kindle version, though, because I need it for the bit, you know? I want to be able to open a random page of this book and just read any one of the numerous incredible life-changing tidbits of wisdom.
I'm here today because of that book.
I'm really tempted to dig in a little deeper to try to figure out how exactly this book has brought you to where you are today. But I mean, really just you as a man, as a whole, like as a human being that is seeing the truth above the line.
When you learn to be above the line, you stay above the line. Yeah, and that's just You stop. Honestly, you're so far above the line, you don't even really see the line anymore because
right.
you're just up there. You're just up in the clouds.
And I just, you know, you want to learn lessons in leadership and life from a championship season.
And there were so many championship seasons. So many lessons.
Shad Khan has to have kept the receipt for this hire, right?
I don't know if he's just my best, and this is in all seriousness, not a joke. At this point, he's just assuming that Urban Meyer's eventually just going to quit and he's not going to have to pay a buyout. Just like it's getting so bad. He's like, you know what? Maybe if I just wait,
yeah,
he's going to step away and then I just won't have to pay him.
There was a tweet here that I do want to talk
about.
He's had
a couple heart conditions. And, I mean, I use that in air quotes because I don't know if he really had a heart problem. Maybe mm-hmm. he did. I don't know. And so they popped up twice. Third time's the charm. I don't know.
Michelle Steele tweeted this out earlier. I thought it was interesting. Saying, Jaguars acknowledged team attorneys knew about the reported incident, which presumably would mean team president and or GM also would have known. They have sided with Meyer. If the team cites this win or if they decide to let him go, it will be because it went public, which is a good point there of, again, the story. I mentioned that there was the talk of the Jags attorneys knowing about it. I think it would be pretty bad form for your attorneys to not pass something like that along.
Ice Pyro says he may know a guy on the high seas who can get you that book.
Is that a pirating joke?
I don't know.
I don't either. At this point, I'm too afraid to ask.
Yeah, I think we roundabout asked.
It's either a joke about pirating a book, and look, I mean,
maybe he can actually get you the book.
If I don't give Urban Meyer $5 directly after downloading that book in some other form, you know, how will I sleep at night? Or Ice Pyro, he said yes. Well, that kind of takes the wind out of my sails. Pun intended. Because I was going to say, like, if I can get a copy of this book that was used by an actual sailor on the high seas with those weathered pages, that's how I feel like that book should be. I feel like Urban Meyer's book should be sold that way. Exactly.
That's where you see the real leadership.
Yeah. In the wrinkled, sea-salted pages.
He's a treasure. Gift that keeps giving.
To stick with the pirate theme, I don't know if he's treasure or if he's a bunch of booty. Anywho.
Anywho,
I have a lot of whips. Anywho, I love kicking my players. What? We need to talk about the Chiefs thing here. We'll talk a lot more Chiefs with Kent Swanson of KC Sports Network here in 15 minutes, and we'll talk about it throughout the remainder of the show. But the news of the day today, and I honestly like kind of lost it. Really didn't. Go ahead, Rudy.
I'm sorry. Ice Pyro says, I once saw a pirate selling this stuff. It was a yar sale. It's pretty good. You may talk about the Chiefs.
I don't know that I can now, though, you know? Like,
it had to be said.
I just am afraid this whole segment's going to be pirate puns. We have to take another break anyway. Like, is this just the real quick segment instead of it being the last one?
Probably. Regroup. Get back to the Chiefs.
I mean,
potentially.
Yeah, I mean, we
can get back above the line.
We can. We can try. Just at this point, I'm worried that the entire show's been sunk like a pirate ship. I didn't have a better one. I was just stalling that whole time. Like, you know, if I had come up with one pirate-based joke, then maybe I'd see if we could go to break. See, that one's also not. It's not good. I don't have one though. Now I'm stuck here. More like the pirates who don't do anything. That's a joke that would have killed if Kent was here.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
In the first 26 minutes of this show, everything went wrong on the production side. Not Beard's fault. All the equipment around him. He was captaining a ship with just like beachball size holes in the hull.
The ship was A, on fire, B, getting invaded by pirates, C, had the Kraken trying to bring it down around it, and D, it also just got hit by lightning, E, it was also on a mountain.
With Joshua Briscoe.
F, it was running Windows XP.
I mean, you're not wrong.
I'm not wrong. There are F reasons that the first 26 minutes of this show is a hellscape.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, let's actually talk about the Chiefs defense. Now, that was the entire... That music bed was not a long one, huh?
I did not... After I hit play, I then kind of looked. I was like, oh, boy. This is about 3 or 4 seconds long. And honestly, it kind of worked out.
It was fun,
because you're like, and now we're going to talk about the Chiefs. And then the music just kind of stopped.
I expected it to come back in again, you know? And it didn't. It was just... That was the end of
it. That was it. I'm just happy there was a like an actual
fade out
and not just a hard cut.
There's some non-royalty free beds in there that I'm sure I put in of like, you know, I know when the hotline, but, and that's just the end of the bed. I try to give some good edit points. That's been a long time since I just realized I don't even know how to put music in the new system.
It's pretty easy.
I'm sure it is, but
it's much, much, much easier because you don't actually have to record it. You can just drag a file.
I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. I want to talk about the Chiefs defense a little bit here before we talk about it more with our dear friend Kent Swanson of KCSN coming up in about 10 minutes from now. So the news of the morning today was that L'Jarius Sneed was ruled out for this game, which makes sense. He was on his way back to Kansas City on Tuesday, according to Andy Reid, whenever we were out there for press conferences and everything. So on his way back, but hasn't practiced for a week. And in any circumstance, injury-wise, when a guy doesn't practice for a week, they usually don't play. So makes sense. Obviously, Sneed was away to be with his family following the murder of his brother. Like, just an incredibly heavy, you know, difficult thing for a million reasons. But so not terribly surprised that he's ruled out. Also, because, I don't know, man, are you working out in that period of time? Are you going to be able to be totally up with what you're going to do defensively that upcoming day? I would think probably not. Anyway, doesn't matter. That part is not all that important as to why he's not playing. We know the crux of it. And now he won't be playing tomorrow night. The surprising thing on the injury report today was that Willie Gay Jr. was ruled out. And the first we saw of that was from the Chiefs tweeting it out. And in the injury report, under the injury section, was just reserve COVID. And this now puts the Chiefs in a heck of a position tomorrow night. They're going up against a very good Chargers offense, which will not have Rashawn Slater. We know that officially now. Their left tackle is out. And they may or may not have Austin Eckler. Was dealing with an ankle issue last week. Short week, short turnaround, limited in practice, officially questionable for tomorrow night. But then the Chiefs defense, we could do the power ranking of all of this, of like, who would be the guys that you would want to take off that defense the least? And Sneed, Gay, and Jones are all pretty darn high on that list. You know, if Tyrann Mathieu is also out, that would be worse. If, I don't know, maybe you give Tarvarius Ward the number one pull there among corners, but I think you could probably put Sneed one clip above him. Maybe Frank Clark is on that list, but I think you could make an argument at least that with Tyrann Mathieu as the other guy, maybe Juan Thornhill's on that list, I don't know. But these are three of the five most important players on this defense that will not be playing tomorrow night. We talked about this last night with Seth Kizer. Willie Gay makes the field smaller for offenses. He has an uncommon and unmatched speed and athleticism at that position that nobody else in this group is going to be able to compensate for. Also, with Rashad Fenton playing about half the snaps last week. Maybe he ramps up this week, and maybe that adjusts things a little bit here. But Dan Sorensen played something like 90% of the snaps last week with Tyrann Mathieu playing in the slot more. Well, Willie Gay is out. Ben Neiman has been playing more and more already, kind of finding that role again, and he'll be playing even more with Gay being out tomorrow. And you're going to talk about a team that I'd have to think, given our conversation with Seth yesterday, and we'll talk about this with Kent, but I'd have to think that the plan, if you're the Chargers, is to start implementing some more of those passes with the running back in the flats, or even just running backs out of the backfield doing anything, specifically with the talent of Austin Ekeler and a player of his style, going up against a Chiefs defense that had no answers for that before Willie Gay Jr. returned. I am worried about the Chiefs defense in a way that I have not now in several weeks. Because barring a miraculous surprise of Chris Jones, who would have had to have had a negative test by now, because 24 hours from now, the game is happening. And I would think we would probably have heard a little bit of optimism on that front, if that was trending in that direction. So I would tend to think that Chris Jones will not be playing in this game, along with Snead and Gay. But for the defensive renaissance that this team has had, I do think it's legitimate, and I do think that it's more than just the personnel changes. It seems like Dan Sorensen's playing better football in a role more fitting to who he is. Same for Ben Neiman, and then having Willie Gay out there. Same for Mike Hughes, honestly, right?
AFC Defensive Player of the Week, Mike Hughes.
Thank you. Please use his full name. I think there are things schematically and things in Frank Clark getting healthy and things in everybody becoming more comfortable in the defense, Anthony Hitchens being in a better stretch right now than he was in earlier in the season. I think there are sustainable things happening right now that go beyond just having those guys on the field. But having to take, I think I said this last night, the worst neutral matchup agnostic thing you can have in football, Thursday Night Football on the road. Having that and pairing it now without your best defensive player and then maybe your third and fourth or fourth and fifth most important players after that, it puts you in a terribly detrimental spot in a game you absolutely have to have. And so I'm not a total downer on this. I'm not telling you that the game is over, but it was already stacked against the Chiefs. And again, no Rashawn Slater. Maybe Frank Clark has the game of his Chiefs career tomorrow night. I think that's in the realm of possibility. Maybe Melvin Ingram has 3 sacks. But I do think things are going to get more difficult here. We'll talk to Kent Swanson about that next.